Well, everyone, good morning again. I'd like for you to pray for me through the further part of this service so that everything that we say and do, the Lord will bless. Today is part two of The Lord is My Shepherd. And I can't tell you exactly how many sections I'm going to break this down into, but this is such a special psalm. It's probably the most heartfelt and most endeared psalm of all. They're all so special. And there's things about the 23rd Psalm that we don't know for exactly. And I'm going to give you a quick recap for those of you who weren't here last Sunday, but also to ingrain in our minds as we go forward. The psalm builds on itself. Each part of the sentence is predicated on what came before it. So it's important that we recap and that we understand some of the very simple elements about it. But you know, I made this comment last Sunday. We don't know exactly how old David was when he wrote these psalms. Some people like to picture David perhaps when he was hiding from Saul, on the run, when he was in whatever environment he was in. We know that he spent time in caves, fleeing for his life. And what an inspiring thought it is to say this is when he penned this song, or this psalm that the Lord is my shepherd. Because with that term, shepherd, God is leading him. Yet David went through some very difficult times. As we read in our opening scripture, David was 30 years old when he became king of Israel. Pretty young man. So we don't know if he wrote this psalm exactly what time. I think he was already king because of some of the sentiments and thoughts that I gleaned from this psalm. I believe he already was. I don't think personally it was in his old age. I think he was still in his 30s most likely when he wrote this psalm. But that's not really the point. We just know that David wrote this psalm and it is his testimony of God and his relationship with God. And I pointed that out last time. This psalm really stresses the personal relationship that we all have with the Lord. So we're going to recap and just start out by reading the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this psalm, it touches on every aspect of our life as a believer. From early in our life as a believer to whatever our last day may be. You can apply this psalm no matter how old you are. So again, it doesn't matter how old David was when he wrote this psalm. He had experienced every one of these things already. Because up to his kingship, he had been a shepherd. He had been a warrior. He had been a fugitive. And then he was a king. This psalm touches every aspect of that. But he starts out in the very first verse, and again, I'm just recapping quickly, as the Lord. You know, how many people follow other people on Facebook? How many people follow the politics? How many people that are in the martial arts? It used to be back a few years ago that it was a sense of pride to say, I follow Master So-and-so, who is a ninth degree black belt from Korea. You know, there's different things that people follow. David is saying, I follow the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And I personally read into this a sense of humbleness, but a sense also of pride in the fact that it is God who I follow. And there's reasons for that, I believe. And the Bible goes on to define, the Lord defines himself. We pointed this out last time, just a quick recap. Hear what God told Moses when defining himself. Deuteronomy 4:39. Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart. And folks, that applies to us. No matter the circumstances that we may find ourselves in this day. Again, we're talking about Veterans Day to some degree. What if at some point you are on the battlefield? Whatever your circumstances are, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. How many people look to other things in life thinking they'll find salvation? They won't find it. We find it by turning to God. And as Christians and as believers, we look to God for our salvation in Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And David is saying that God is my shepherd. So he starts out the Lord. And we have the definition of God. We need to think about our own selves. Is that who is guiding us in our life? And see, the next thing we went over, the second aspect from last Sunday, is the word is. It's used in the definitive. There's no options. God is my shepherd, and He is saying that He is always my shepherd. It's not sometimes. It's not when I feel good or when I want to reflect upon Him. He is always my shepherd. I read this just like when the Lord describes Himself, I am. He is always the shepherd of His people. God does not change. We may try to wander off from God, but God will not forsake His children. The Lord is my shepherd. Is. Always is. And then number three, the word my. Again, this is very personal. You know, David, we just read in our opening scripture that David is supposed to shepherd the people of Israel. You see, we have responsibilities, and that's what I was talking about with some of the veterans. Veterans, in some ways, are like shepherds. I can tell you from my own knowledge and discussions with my brother, when any military person goes into a foreign country, oftentimes those military people are the hospital. They are the policemen. They are the support structure. They are everything to the indigenous people that happen to be there. There is such great need. And they teach them. They go in and educate them. They help them. They shepherd for them. They care for them. That's what military people do that oftentimes is not recognized. But you see, folks, God has empowered us too. God is our shepherd. It's personal. And He has given you abilities. How do we use those abilities? Because in some way or another, parents are shepherds to their children. Grandparents as the family grows. As church members, we are supposed to shepherd people in our lives to lead them to God. But David identifies here, my. You see, at times, our relationship with God just comes down to just us. You know, we sang, I go to the garden alone. How sweet that is. And then we sang, He leadeth me. You see, God cares for all His people. But folks, you can never try to hide amongst the numbers. Your relationship with God is personal between you and Him. And He knows you. And that's illustrated in the Gospel of John when Jesus said the following, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, God knows you. And He knows you by name. It is a personal relationship. He knows everything about you. And He will care for you because you are a child of God. See, Jesus says, my sheep. This is directed to God's children. My sheep, hear my voice. I pray that we're here today to hear God's voice. Not me, but God's voice as it comes from His Word. My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And that's what David was saying. He is my shepherd. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You see, Jesus is a good shepherd, and He cares for us. He cares for you. And folks, the circumstances of this life cannot separate us from God. Number four. Again, I'm about to finish this recap from last Sunday. The term shepherd acknowledges ownership. See, Jesus just said, my sheep. A sheep is an animal that is owned by the shepherd. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I think there's a sense of pride in that acknowledgement. Spurgeon said the following, a sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal, and frequently it is bought with a great price. It is well to know, and certainly David knew, that we belong to the Lord. And folks, we can never forget what a great price Jesus paid for his sheep. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Folks, we have to be reflective on our life. At times, there are points when we don't follow God the way that we should. If you think about David, it doesn't matter if he's under having the weight of the kingdom of Israel on his shoulders as a king, or if he wrote this when he was still a fugitive. The Lord is my shepherd. And you see, one statement builds on the other. The Lord is my shepherd. So what is a shepherd? If we read the definitions of a shepherd, when it's used as a noun, a person who herds, who tends and guards sheep. Every aspect of the shepherd we find in Jesus Christ. But folks, we need to be finding it in ourselves too. This is what a shepherd does. This is what a loving, responsible person does for those around them. This is what Christians are supposed to do. Who tends and guards sheep. A person who protects, guides, or watches over a person or group of people. A member of the clergy. The shepherd, Jesus Christ. See, these are all defined as individual entities. They're nouns under this. These are noun descriptions. But then they're a verb also. To tend or guard as a shepherd. Who are you shepherding, folks? Some you have to give, you know, so we're giving recognition. Give recognition to mentors. Those that go and mentor small children that don't have parents that they ought to have. That lead and give them examples and teach them. They're shepherding. Teachers can be shepherds. Military people can be shepherds. As followers of Christ, we all need to be shepherds. We need to shepherd and watch over those that we love, but those that we come in contact as we think about our nation. We need leaders that will shepherd and look after the welfare of the citizens of the United States. Those are the definitions. So now let's apply it to David. Because I want you to know a little bit more about the shepherd. And we're going to go into this as we go deeper into the psalm in the coming weeks. Folks, the shepherds spent their entire day with the flock. They were outside. They didn't come in when it rained. They were outside with the flock all day. They lived with them. So that means that they ate out on the prairie with them, if you want to use the term prairie, or on the hills. No matter where they were with their flock. They spent the entire day, and when it was necessary, they slept in the fields with the sheep too. But see, the shepherd was with them. Never forget, we can't separate ourselves from God. You can't hide from God. It goes back to a personal relationship. The shepherd is with his children. You see, that time with the sheep, it developed a very strong bond and a trust. The sheep trusted the shepherd. The shepherd oftentimes named the sheep. And he smelled like the sheep because he was out there living with them. And the shepherd would lead the sheep, and the sheep would follow him. That was the bond that they had. And you see, David is purposely using the term shepherd here, isn't he? He could have said, God is my king. That's a true statement. But when he's reflecting on God, he's thinking about how God is his shepherd, how close he is. How I want to spend time with God. How God protects me. You see, the shepherd had to protect the sheep. And again, we're going to go into this a little bit deeper into the study as we go forward with it. But they protected the sheep, and the sheep trusted the shepherd to do that. Folks, this still goes on today in certain parts of the world. Parts of Turkey, they still have nomadic shepherds. Parts, even up in Israel, there's parts of shepherds. There are shepherds in part of the northern Israel. Over in Africa, in East Africa especially, there are people that live just like they did 2,000 years ago, out with the sheep. They have to protect the sheep. You see, the shepherds had certain tools that they used to protect them, but that's not the focus right now. The focus is that David, just like the sheep, looked to the shepherd for protection and trusted the shepherd. David trusts God the same way. And I said one thing builds on the other. Listen to this that we find in Samuel about the protection, about our faith, and how do you view God? Because when this happened, we know David was a teenager. So let's read in 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37. And this is when David is going before Saul, telling Saul that he would fight Goliath. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as he has defiled the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." What a statement for a teenager to make to the king of Israel. He wasn't afraid. You see, the faithfulness that God showed to David. He delivered David from the lion and the bear. He protected David. But you see the faith that David has in God, even before it happens, to defeat Goliath. You see past tense and you see future tense. Because he knows that God is guiding him, he's leading him, he knows that God is his shepherd. Do you have that kind of faith in your life? God has led all of us up to this point. Now, we don't have a completely full congregation here today, but the age spans the entire, basically, portion of a human experience. From being under 10 all the way up into the late 80s, our congregation is right now. God has been with everybody all the way. And as God's children, we have to have faith. If he's brought us this far, when you look back over your life, like David was looking back over the protection from the lion and the bear, not the fact that he had to experience those, God led him. Maybe it was a faith and character building exercise, who knows? But David had faith. If God delivered me then, he will deliver me in the future when I go face and fight and kill Goliath. So folks, what battles lie before us? We don't know. But we do know that God is our shepherd. And I told you that each statement builds upon the other. David believed and knew in his heart that God was his shepherd, who would lead him, who would guide him, and would protect him. And it comes to the very next term, and he knows that there is a pause. "The Lord is my shepherd." There's a colon or a semicolon. The thought changes. "I shall not want." Now, can we make that statement? Have you ever thought about that statement just by itself? "I shall not want." You know, we're a society of spoiled people, I'll say. We always want. Always want. We want more. We want more. We want more. David's saying, "I shall not want." It's time to take a look inside ourselves and do some character building, isn't it? You think about what David is saying. "I shall not want." Notice he doesn't say need. He could have said, "I shall not be in need." But they're different. Jesus addressed that in the Gospel of Matthew when he's talking on the Sermon on the Mount. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, there's a difference between our needs and our wants. And David is saying here, I shall not want. He's already been, God has already proven to him, he will supply all his needs. Jesus is saying the same thing. We need to have faith like David. God will provide our needs. From 10 to 80, he's provided for your needs, folks. We can look back. God provided for David with the bear and the lion. He provided for David all his life, as he has us. He says, I shall not want. Jesus makes clear that God will provide our physical needs if we put him first in our life. And that goes back to, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, who are you following again? Are you following the social influencers? Are you following God's word? See, priorities come into play as to who we follow. You know, David, in my view, is the perfect example of God providing for our needs. He provided for David when he was a shepherd. He provided for David when he was hiding, fearing for his life. He provided for David when he was a warrior fighting for Israel. And he provided for David when he was a king. Just like he does us. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. But now let's look at I shall not want from another perspective. Two more perspectives as we try to finalize this first opening statement of the 23rd Psalm. I shall not want. Number one, what more could we want? Can you think about it from that aspect for a minute? God created all things. He knows your needs. And he can provide for them just like he did with the manna from heaven to the children of Israel out in the desert. 40 years they had manna. They had bread to eat every morning. God provides for his children. What more could you want is the thought. See, to me, it's like saying, I am confident, so I will not doubt. My soul is comforted because I know God is always there with me. He's my shepherd. I am satisfied knowing that God's words and promises never fail. They endure forever, and he will care for me. So I shall not want. When you trust completely in Jesus Christ, whose hands are you in? Don't we believe with all our hearts, and as Jesus said, that he is always with us? Don't we believe the words in the Bible that says that nothing can separate us from the love of God? What more could I want when I truly sit there and think that God is my shepherd? Could you want another shepherd? No. Is there anything more capable than God who created everything? No. God is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I believe he's confident in this. He's confident in his life experiences. He's confident in God's promises. And we see that same confidence in Joshua when he led the Israelites into the promised land. And as we turn to Joshua, we'll see when he was 110 years old when he passed away. And these are some of his final words to the children of Israel. Joshua 23:14. Behold this day, I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. You see, folks, God's promises endure forever. He has promised that he is always with us. He does not fail. So what more could you want than having the Lord as your shepherd? You see, I believe this is the confidence that David had regardless of when he wrote this psalm. And yeah, I like the picture in my mind that he's writing this with all the weights of the kingship upon his shoulders. You know, Israel fought so many battles. So many armies tried to invade and conquer. It was a constant struggle, a constant tiresome thing. But he said, I shall not want. He had confidence for what lay ahead, because he could look back and see how God had provided for them. So, folks, when we have that life experience, what more could we want than the assurity that we find in God's Word, that the Lord is our shepherd, and He cares for you. In a personal, intimate relationship, He cares for you. There's nothing that will catch God unaware. There's nothing that He doesn't know or understand. God, who created all, is our shepherd. He is your shepherd. You can say, He is my shepherd. And you have the confidence to trust Him and to follow Him. Just like Joshua pointed out that everything God said came to pass, David is building his life on that when he says, I shall not want. God will provide for me. You know, it could be difficult, but God will provide for me. He has confidence in God's faithfulness. And you know, when you start thinking about it, you start summarizing it. When you're walking with God, there's a peace in our heart. There's a levity in our heart that makes us just feel different. Do you feel different when you come to church and you're really prayerful to God? When you're really wanting to be close to God? The other things of life don't matter quite so much. I believe David had this feeling in his heart too when he said, I shall not want. What more could I want than to be close to the Lord, to be walking with Him? And I believe this sentiment is echoed in Psalm 16, where David said, You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, that comes when we grow very tight, very close. Just like the shepherd and the sheep, they were constantly rubbing and touching up against each other. That intimate relationship. The sheep drew comfort from the shepherd. We draw comfort from the presence of God in our lives. When we feel like He's truly on the inside. When we're going before Him. He went on to express in Psalm 84, For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, there's something so much greater. I shall not want, because I'm going to be close to God. And there's nothing else that matches that, to be close to the Lord. How could you want more? You think about, we just sang that song, I Go to the Garden. I go to the garden alone. His voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. You see, we go to that time of prayer in our lives, and when we do and we're close to God, that sweetness is different than anything else you can experience. Would you trade it? David wouldn't. He's saying, I shall not want. There is no greater pleasure. But now, a second perspective. Another perspective is we should trust what the Lord has done for us and be content for what He has given us. The 10th commandment tells us, Thou shalt not covet. Boy, how much better off the church would be if we didn't covet. As if God's people, we didn't covet, always wanting more and more. Jesus warned us of this in Luke chapter 12, 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. But how backward we get this, don't we? You see, David had it right. He was surrounded by all these pagan nations. Those pagan nations were pretty wealthy. They had all the, which I guess you would call the lustful, wanton ways of living. Very hedonistic living. They were an allure, especially to the youth. You shall not covet. You see, David didn't care what those other nations had. He prioritized God's word. And he kept God's commandment. And he ruled and led Israel to keep these commandments. David wasn't perfect either. He had his fallacies. He had his times when he fell. But in his heart, he loved God, and he loved God's word, and he put it first in his life. So he didn't want. He wasn't coveting other things that the other nations had. Because how do you compare them? They didn't have their relationship with God. People outside of God's Word don't have this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And what a contrast. Because there's a perfect example of somebody who did covet. And it was David's predecessor. His name was Saul. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. So Saul died in his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. What a contrast. What about us? You know, sometimes we may say, well, why is life so hard? Why am I going through this trial? If God is my shepherd, why am I having to endure this? You know, we don't always have that answer, but it's for a reason. And at some point, that trial will come to an end. You may have gone through that trial to grow closer to God. You may go through that trial for somebody else's benefit. I don't know. But we have to trust our shepherd who's leading us, who's guiding us. And we should not be coveting other people that seem to be successful, living lives that are totally outside of what God's Word allows. Would you really trade it? I shall not want. Do we have reasons? Don't we have reasons? Can't you think of reasons why we truly don't want, have any reason to want? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, it's going back to trusting God. He's going to give us what we need. Yes, we have to resist temptations in our life. David did too. We need to follow the Lord, even when it's not easy, as David had to. But folks, now as we end, it comes to a culmination of why we shouldn't want. This is dear to us, this next verse. Some of us have memorized it, or at least portions of it. Take it to heart and think about, would you trade anything in this world for it? Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You see, folks, through Jesus Christ we are made acceptable to God. He has provided for all of our needs. The Good Shepherd knew that we needed redemption. He has blessed us far beyond our ability to ever understand in this life. The Word just told us, in heavenly places, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You see, we have no reason to want because we're in the Good Shepherd's care. Now, will we follow him? Is the Lord our shepherd? And will we quit changing the priorities of our life and putting wants of this world before our service to God? The Lord is our shepherd. You have no reason to want. David said, I shall not want. These other things will not pull me astray. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us, be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, folks, whatever we might be in, we might be in a cave like David, or we may feel like we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders, or we might be in a really good place. They're all experiences in life. Whatever they are, let the joy of knowing that God is with you and he will lead you If you put him first in your life, if you keep his commandments, what more could you want? There is nothing else more than we can truly want. God is our shepherd, and he knows you by name. And as I told you, one thing builds upon another in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Next week we're going to look at he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Folks, there's some very interesting aspects about that as it applies to me and you and as it applies to sheep. I pray that the Lord will add his blessings to these words and help us to recognize, because we have David as we're studying as the example, that the Lord is our shepherd. Don't make the mistake of putting anything else before God in your life. Make him first, and you shall not want. May the Lord add his blessings, is my prayer.